FSN Radio.
It's all about what's next.
Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports.
The Financial Survival Network.
It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to and hopefully even watching the Financial Survival Network, and I'm Carrie Lutz. Today is actually, today is Indigenous Peoples Day. I should say it's the holiday formerly known as Columbus Day, 10-12-20. Well, we got lots to talk about here, John, lots to talk about. I'm going to move one up the list because I was so entertained by it, and I'm glad you caught it because I had seen it as well. It appears there's a run on private islands taking place. What, pray tell, could be causing it, and what does that tell you?
Hey, Carrie. Actually, there's 2 stories that are related here. The first one is that in New York City, high-end stores have told their security guards to back off because they don't want to be generating viral YouTube videos of arresting people. And so shoplifting is through the roof there, you know, and everybody's just getting away with it. And at the same time, the brokers who handle private island sales are swamped with rich people trying to buy their own private islands, you know, and so the
showing that article on the screen. See it there?
Yeah.
Isn't that great? I mean, and where does it come from? Our old friends at the New York Post. So the two are related for sure. And you're not allowed to protect your property because you're going to look bad if you protect your property, right?
Well, yeah. And that's, you know, it's leading a lot of people just to want to get out of Dodge. And the people who have the means to do it are doing it in big ways, obviously. You know, for the last few years, billionaires have been buying end of the world compounds in New Zealand, right? Private airstrip, you know, an underground bunker, a farm to grow stuff on. And you know, that trend is just kind of accelerating now. And now the latest story is the private island thing. So the brokers now are finding themselves having to explain to the super rich how you can't just flip a switch and move to a private island. That's not how it works, you know, because the people buying them now, they want them to be like homesteads where, okay, we'll grow our own food, we'll have goats and things like that. And that's not normally how private islands work, because, you know, to build something there is super expensive, and to ship stuff in is really complicated and takes forever. And so what they're doing is they're steering a lot of these guys to super yachts. They're saying, hey, why don't you just rent a super yacht and take it somewhere? Oh, and the other problem with private islands is there's a lot of contention out there over of who owns what part of different parts of the sea. And so a lot of these private islands are in the middle of, you know, China versus the US or Turkey versus Greece. And so they're not really peaceful places. So the brokers are not making a lot of sales of big islands. And I think it's frustrating for them because they're super busy, but they don't really have the products that the new version of super rich people wanting islands thinks that they can buy. So anyhow, a funny end of the world story there, you know, because
here we go. We got actually a website, if you can believe it, John. I'm showing it right now. Find your private island and just search, see what comes up. They don't look very big and they don't look real hospitable. Well, this one's good. The Afuru Resort, and it's got an airport with it. It's in the Maldives. You really kind of want to get one with an airport if you're going to be in the market. This one happens to look great in the Bahamas, Cave Cay. You can drive there from on a boat from Florida, but it looks like it's going for $60 million. I don't know. Like, they got some great beaches, though. I'll say that.
Chump change for some of these guys. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Not very many of them look like homesteads, though, huh? Doesn't look like you'd be raising your own food there.
No, like unless you got a greenhouse on top or something.
Yeah.
And this one's in the Maldives. A lot of them there, but it's like literally the house is the island. I don't know, kind of like Devil's Island with a prison or something. I don't know. There's a bunch of them, though. And who would think that there would be that many private islands, John, for sale on the market? But I guess there's a market for everything, right?
Well, there's always a market for the biggest, best thing, you know. So some rich guy with more dollars than cents is going to buy whatever it is at the top of the line. And then, you know, that's what an island is, basically. It's like in the story that I read about this, one of the brokers was saying, well, you know, it's the next step for a lot of these guys because they've got their private plane. They've got their big yacht. They've got their trophy real estate, you know, a penthouse or something like that. So your own island is just the next thing to buy after that. But now there's a sense of urgency. Because people want to be far away from their London penthouse or their, you know, their New York City co-op or whatever, just because the world is getting so crazy. So,
yeah.
They're bailing on us. The rich people are leaving. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess if you don't want to go to New Zealand, if you're not into sheep, and then again, New Zealand, it's a stone's throw from China. And it'll just be a matter of days. There's some kind of global collapse. They'll take over China. China will take over New Zealand and Australia. So I don't see where it gets you much. But, man, it's pretty amazing. Well, the top story we're going to talk about is the World Health Organization says no more stinking lockdowns. And these are the guys that got everybody to lock down. Like, what is going on here, John? Have they changed their point of view?
Jerry, that can't be right. They love lockdowns at the WHO.
Yeah.
And masks and things like that. No, that's it was masks last week, right? Where they started saying, oh, yeah, you don't need, or was it social distancing? I forget. They're changing their tune on all of this stuff. As the death rate for COVID-19 goes down, you know, now it's basically approaching the flu. You know, this is looking more and more like just another flu. And, you know, the White House is a kind of a funny example of this, because on the one hand, yeah, everybody's sick in the White House, right? So that sounds like an argument for lockdowns, but nobody's extremely sick or anything. You know, what is it, 12 or 18 or something like that, White House staff have coronavirus, and none of them are dying or anything. You know, it looks like it's kind of it's catchy, but it's not as dangerous as we thought it was. So everybody's having to rethink their approach to this particular pandemic. And, you know, with the WHO coming out and saying, well, you don't even want to do lockdowns anymore. I'm not sure what's left. You know, if masks don't work and lockdowns don't work, maybe we're all back at the Sweden model now, where it's just like, use common sense and we'll get herd immunity and that'll be that. Yeah.
Well, look, in my opinion, how deadly can a disease be if it didn't kill Chris Christie? I mean, this is a guy who's a walking plethora of comorbidities. He's got to have heart problems. He's got to have high blood sugar. And the guy's blood pressure has to be off the charts. It didn't kill him. So to me, it's the end of the epidemic. You know, the definition of an epidemic, according to the CDC, 5.5% of total deaths taking place are from that particular cause, whether it's a flu virus or whatever. We are way, way beneath that now. In Florida yesterday, we had one person supposedly die of COVID, and he was probably the victim of a mob hit. So, you know, that's, the numbers are all specious. You can't believe anything that they're coming up with for the numbers. So I think the election's almost here. COVID's almost gone. Let's forget about it and let's move on, because like you say, everybody's kind of, the deadliness of the disease way lower because it already killed off the most susceptible people in nursing homes, et cetera.
Well, it is a very sector-specific disease, it looks like, because it, you know, it is deadly for an 85-year-old with two or three other lingering problems, but not so much for a 17-year-old who's otherwise healthy. So, you know, it's clear that you definitely want to quarantine or otherwise protect the really vulnerable populations, but making it this broad brush thing may be looked upon in retrospect as overkill. So good. No, you know, better late than never if we figure it out.
No pun intended, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, my guess is we'll be looking back on this and everybody will be like, we did what? I mean, it'll be like leeches and bloodletting in the Middle Ages.
Yeah.
It will go down in infamy.
Well, you know, I think when we total it up, the lockdowns are going to be seen to be more deadly in a lot of cases than the actual disease was, because, you know, suicide rates are up and drug addiction is up and spouse abuse and child abuse, all those things are way up.
Yeah.
And when we get around to adding those numbers up, I think they're going to be comparable to whatever it was that COVID ended up doing now. So amazing.
Yeah. And the, is procedures that became elective for cancer surgery. We got thousands and thousands of people around the world will be dying because their cancer wasn't treated promptly enough. And just so many others, people wouldn't even call ambulances, wouldn't go to the hospitals because they were afraid of being exposed to COVID, which is pure madness. But I get it. You know, when there's a panic, the rational thought goes out the window. So we can only hope and pray that it's going to be done with really soon. Hey, Robin Hood, you know, I thought like Robin Hood, millennial company, they can do no wrong. They had a little bit of a customer breach, eh?
Well, see, Robin Hood is an app and people forget that. You know, when you think of a stockbroker, you think, oh, they've got all these people waiting to talk to you and help you out. But apps, no, you don't think of calling customer service for some app that you downloaded onto your phone. And Robin Hood is one of those. So they got hacked and a lot of accounts got cleaned out, it looks like. And it turns out there's no customer service line to call.
Google. It's like, yeah. It looks like your Gmail breaks. What the hell are you going to do? Or, you know, your Google doesn't work. You're screwed.
Anyway. Yeah, you uninstall it and then you reinstall it and see if that works. But with a stock brokerage account that got emptied out, doesn't do much good to reinstall Robinhood, right? So, and which is a shame in a way, because I was looking forward to the next stimulus checks coming out, going into those Robinhood accounts and then chasing the gold and silver mining stocks. So this was going to make us a lot of money if they kept this thing going. So now, you know, it's not so clear that what lessons people are going to learn from this, but it's possible that it will cause people with a lot of money in their Robinhood accounts to pull that money out and put it somewhere safer. So too bad for gold miners.
It looks like some reverse Robinhooding going on there to me, John, where the rich thieves are stealing from the poor millennials and enriching themselves in the process. But hey, you got to kind of expect this. I opened a Robinhood account, but I never funded it. I just wanted to see how easy it was. And it was pretty darn easy. Like, I think the only thing you had to do is take a picture of your license or government ID. It just is a hot seat of fraud. So mail-in ballot fraud or potential fraud, seems like you've had a firsthand taste of it.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Osino Resources is a Ross Beatty-backed gold exploration company in mining-friendly Namibia. Osino's district-scale land package is situated near two producing gold mines, one of which Osino's management team previously developed and sold to B2 Gold. Osino's founders and management are experienced mining professionals who have already successfully developed and sold two companies in the past 7 years. Osino has a tight share structure, and with its current treasury, it can self-fund the advancement of its gold discovery into at least 2022. This is an exploration company with drills turning that you'll definitely want to pay attention to. Osino trades in New York under the ticker OSIIF and in Toronto under the ticker OSI. To learn more, go to osinoresources.com. That's osinoresources.com.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Well, one of the big scary stories going forward is that this election is close and chaotic, so that whoever ends up winning, the other guys think that they got robbed and that we have civil unrest that flows from that. And, you know, the idea that a bunch of states are going to just have to from scratch run mail-in balloting, you know, completely for a presidential election is pretty scary, right? Because it's hard to do. And we're a perfect example of that. My wife and I just moved, well, a year ago, we moved from Idaho to Washington State, but my wife just got not one, but two Idaho mail-in ballots. So not only don't they know she's not there anymore, but they gave her two ballots. So, you know, I'm telling her, you know, vote twice just to see what happens. But and if it's happening here, it's probably happening across the country. You know, there was another thing. Was it Columbus, Ohio? I'm not sure where. But something like 50,000 ballots went to the wrong people because of a clerical error. And so, you know, people were opening their ballots and they've got the wrong down ballot candidates because it's different in different congressional districts and stuff like that. And so that's the kind of thing that is to be expected when you tell states who don't normally do this kind of stuff to just ramp it up and do it right away. And, you know, it's worrisome for what's going to happen with this election, because it's going to be really easy to feel like you got cheated if it's a close election. You know, there are people saying that now we need a landslide by one guy or the other to keep civil unrest from happening afterwards. So, you know, okay, I'll take a landslide by somebody good, but it doesn't look like a landslide at this point. It looks like a pretty close election, despite what the polls are saying now, because these polls can't be trusted. So it's looking close and it's looking chaotic. And that's really the worst case scenario here. So, you know, so expect island sales to rise after the election.
Well, just something that happened to me, and I haven't shared this with you, but I got letters in the mail. One from South Carolina's unemployment department and one from Michigan's unemployment department asking for more information for my unemployment claims. And one of them, I think the one in Michigan, was approved. And they were actually going to send the person like a couple hundred bucks a week, 190 a week. So I guess the thing is, you steal a little bit from a lot of different names and you can make a lot of money. So I went online and I reported them fraudulent. They had a special form to fill out if find out about fraudulent unemployment claims. And I got the response back. I didn't get a response back from either one, but South Carolina sent another letter saying that my claim was denied because I didn't provide the documentation to them. This is just beyond the pale.
Yeah, everything is hackable now. And that's a separate but related problem to these elections, because, okay, you know, if you do it by mail, then what if there's all this fraud on the voter rolls? And if you try to do it with electronic voting machines, those things can be hacked by 17-year-olds in 5 minutes, and they don't have a paper trail. So you can't know anything about the actual results when you're using that kind of stuff. And if you do walk in or, you know, in-person voting, how many people are going to be scared away from voting booths by the pandemic? So that distorts the vote too. So there's no way to do this without it being messy. And, well, you know, we're going to do it, so we'll just have to see how it turns out. But there's a lot of really scary scenarios out there where, and then the governor of Michigan just said that they weren't going to be limited by quote unquote artificial deadlines in their reporting of the vote this time around. Yeah. So it could be takes days or weeks for a lot of this stuff to be totaled up. So, yeah.
Well, she's not going to be limited by anything legal or lawful, because the Michigan Supreme Court just struck down her executive orders saying she exceeded her authority. And what does she do? She goes and gets the Department of Health to go issue a new order about masks. But I think that her days as governor are numbered. And her ability to just pick and choose the laws that she will enforce, I think that that the courts will put a stop to this, and very quickly. The courts have pretty much been coming down, the appellate courts, on in favor of Trump on all of these little games and scams that the governors are trying to play on mail-in ballots, et cetera. Hey, well, here's an interesting story. You pointed out that Costco in the UK is now selling gold and silver.
Yeah, that's potentially a big deal, you would think. You can just walk into a London Costco and you can pick up a gold bar or a silver bar and take it up to the counter and buy it and walk out with it. So that, you know, it makes a lot of intuitive sense. But it's also a very big deal for the precious metals market if that turns out to be true. Because one of the things that I think hold a lot of people back in physical precious metals is that it's not super convenient to do. You know, you got to go to a coin dealer and try and figure out what the markup is, and or you've got to do it online, and then you've got to send people money before you get your gold. And what happens in between if they go bankrupt? You know, it's not super easy. But walk into Costco and you've got, you know, impulse buy potential there where you didn't even intend to buy gold or silver, but wow, look at that gold, that gorgeous gold bar there. And your brother-in-law has been telling you, you need to buy some silver or whatever. And so you just grab it and buy it. So that could be potentially a big new source of physical demand. We'll see. It's just the UK right now, but there's no reason why they can't do it in the US if it works over there.
Well, the only place they can't do it in the US is in the great state of Minnesota, because all bullion dealers have to be, have got to be bonded, licensed. All of the help has to be, has to have criminal background checks, all of these things. So I don't think it's going to fly there, but any other state, that's the only state. That's why we always tell you to use Miles Franklin, because they are the only ones in Minnesota and they're actually bonded and licensed and all of that stuff. So finally, we've got her for evictions. Now, this is kind of a fake story, I have to tell you, but give me your take on it.
Oh, it's a fake story, Kerry? I didn't see that.
Not a fake story, but it's not really a story, put it that way. This is my area of expertise, eviction law, real estate, all that. But it's basically a company's trying to open up the Uber for evictions, because we got millions of evictions backlogged due to the pandemic and all the moratoriums. I think their moratorium heads to the end of the year based on the CDC saying that it was a public health issue.
Well, Kerry, explain this whole rent moratorium and mortgage moratorium thing to me. Does that mean that the your landlord, if you don't have to pay your landlord, the landlord's just not getting any money for their buildings and stuff?
Yeah, exactly. Well,
so that's where the bankruptcies are going to come then. You're going to have, you know, I guess you would call it commercial real estate bankruptcies. If you're, you know, your apartment building no longer generates any cash or anything. And are they being bailed out by anybody?
Not that I know.
So that's where the big wave of defaults is going to come, right? Because how are they going to pay their bank loans if nobody has to pay them rent?
I think there's 14 million or 28 million small individual landlords. A lot of them have four quads, duplexes, triplexes, or even they're just Florida. It's pretty widespread where you buy a home, single family home, and you rent it out. And if you've got a government-backed mortgage, government-insured mortgage, Fannie, Freddie, FHA, VA, et cetera, you are not allowed to evict you're entitled to get forbearance on your mortgage for a year. And I think it ends like around December, maybe February. I don't remember. You're entitled to 2 6-month forbearances on your interest on your mortgage. But as part of the deal for you to get that, you are not allowed to evict any of your tenants. And I think that all federally backed mortgages, and a lot of them are multifamily, they're not allowed to evict anybody. But then the CDC extended it. So this company is trying to cash in on this trend. And it looks like they're mainly looking for process servers. And that's a whole nefarious industry in a lot of ways. Low skill, a lot of abuses take place there. So I'm not sure that this is really as big a story as they made it out to.
Even if it's not big, it's creepy.
Yeah. You
know? And I think that's the angle there, that now a growth industry is kicking people out of their houses. And it's, you know, calling it the Uber of evictions is a really nice rhetorical hook to hang it on. So if it happens and it, you know, it actually becomes a thing, then there's going to be a lot of chatter about it, because it is a scary trend. When we're gearing up for mass evictions and the private sector is making it easier and easier and less painful for, you know, sheriff's deputies or whatever to do this stuff, you know, just taking it out of the hands of the public sector. you know, we shouldn't be here. We should find a way to keep this stuff from happening. So,
yeah, well, I think that's the game plan. And somehow, whether it's a moratorium, a jubilee, a rent jubilee. Remember, there was that guy in New York, African-American guy, who made a big splash by starting a party called the Rents Too Damn High Party. he got some recognition for it. Well, hey, I think the price of gold is too damn high. Maybe they should bring that down too, right? I mean, it's only...
Well, get ready for that. You know, that's the thing that we'll talk about next year is, okay, you bought your gold. Now, how do you hold on to it with the government trying to you know, prevent you from selling it or tax the hell out of you or confiscate it or whatever? But, that, you know, conversation for a... another year, but it's one that's coming. One thing about the rent moratorium thing is you can't do that for very long because it distorts the real estate market so completely that you know, you got to have sector by sector bailouts all the way back to the federal government if you're going to mess with the housing market in that way. And that might be another thing that's coming too, where you know, we start by doing this humanitarian thing and saying, okay, you guys don't have to pay your rent, but then you got to bail out the landlords, and then you've got to bail out the bond funds that own all the real estate related debt. And by that time you're back to thinking, okay, what will that do to the dollar? You know, so all roads lead back to a currency crisis as things are set up today. And you know, we need to keep our eye on that because that's what makes gold and silver go through the roof ultimately.
Great. Couldn't agree with you more. I think that's it for today, John. Go check out John's site, dollarcollapse.com. Sign up for his free newsletter. Sign up for ours at financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Send us your emails, kl@carrylutz.com. Really interesting group of topics there, and kind of paints a picture that's really interesting. And like you said, none of it's going away. It's all going to stay there. That maybe there'll be a shortage of private islands. They'll have to start making them. You know, the Battery Park City, a lot of islands around the world, a lot of parts of New York City have been added to, created through landfill. Battery Park City, which was right next to the World Trade Center, was created from the excavation material from the World Trade Center. They actually took it and built onto New York City. So maybe they'll start manufacturing private islands soon as well, John. We'll have to see about that. Hey, who knows? Maybe there's a private island in your future and in mine, and we'll have a shortage. We'll have a run on private islands. Interesting to see. Anyway, John, we'll catch you next week.
See you, Carrie.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.